99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the second part of Dailies today here from the nation's number one talk station. I'm Sherif Quadri.
I'm Jimmy. This is a good morning.
We can't hear you clearly.
Sorry. I am Jimmy. This is a good morning.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you too.
How was your weekend, sir?
It was cool. Don't let's talk about that one.
Okay. All right. We'll not talk about it.
Don't let me get carried away.
Yeah, tell me.
Oh, nothing. That's one of a friend of mine. I don't know where I got it from. Oh, nothing. Yeah, I enjoyed myself.
Oh, that's cool. I had a quiet one because fasting started. So, Ramadan started.
So, you want to expose me now? Because this is Lent and Ramadan. So, if I'm not fasting Ramadan and I'm fasting Lent.
Oh my God. I was just saying how my own went.
You should have. If you had spoken first, I'd have told your line. You see? But you threw me to use. You banned me to the Philistines.
Yeah, sorry. But you had fun.
I had fun. Yeah.
That's good. Tensions are high, right?
Yeah. All round. It's the season. But this time around, it's compounded by the security situation that goes along with it. And I think this calls for caution from all parties concerned, both the government, the press, the politicians, and the people themselves. Most importantly, that we do not strike a match, a pour petrol into a burning fire. But I think the larger responsibility falls on government because they are the leaders. Yeah. Okay, the larger responsibility falls on them. And it is important that government at all levels, rather than be reactive, be proactive, okay, in their handling the situation. The state is wobbling. It's like driving on a narrow bridge.
Right.
You know, where you can't reverse and you can't afford to fall in the ditch. So you have to keep going slowly but surely. And like I said, that's why we appoint leaders. Leaders are supposed to take up that leadership role. It's time for government not to think of this nation as us and them. You are the leader of the people. If you find people disagreeing or whatever, it doesn't necessarily make them your enemies. So the government must have that capacity to accommodate all shades and guide us through these very turbulent times.
There's also a part that I feel that we need to address, and that's where our job comes in, because this time of the year, this season, let me use your word, you kind of find all kinds of things in the public space. I don't want to use the media. You find them in social media, you find them in conventional media, most of which, if you're not careful, you'll swallow, because this isn't where people throw propaganda everywhere, fake news everywhere. But people need to know how to their fake news detector must be working.
And it's getting more and more difficult by the day. And that's why I am going to this Friday, we're going to look at that issue and educate ourselves about how to wade through this because all of us are actors. We have a larger responsibility. Those of us who disseminate information, do analysis, and so on and so forth. A lot of it lies with us to make sure, again, like you rightly said, that, you know, we do not, or like I rightly said, we do not throw petrol in the burning.
Exactly.
I'm going to on Friday, we'll try and teach ourselves, even for those who call in, those who make public comments. I'm going to on Friday try to explain to them that in the first instance you don't have to make a comment anyway. So if you're not sure about what you're talking about, why don't you just sit back and listen? It's like back in the day when we were doing exams and you keep finding people saying paper and just writing nothing. And for them to know that living in these times is very, very dangerous.
Yeah,
we are an endangered species.
That's right.
from all targets. You find that politicians, their supporters, and so on and so forth, never know who's doing what. But it also is going to apply to our audience and people. And like you said, we need to be a bit more discerning. I think silence is one of the best virtues that you would have. If you're just not sure of anything, why don't you just keep quiet?
Right.
And then one of the things I want to touch again, advice to politicians, are these people that you hire, you call influencers.
Mm.
You don't want to hire a dim-witted fellow and say he's an influencer and he just throws anything out there. Mm. These are the things we'll examine on Friday. I plan to do that.
Right, right, Friday, brilliant. Yes. Now we can start. Let's start with page 2 of the punch. Heavy criticism for FG as 24 states lose foreign investment.
This doesn't look good at all. It doesn't look good at all. But it's not something that we didn't know. Apparently, it says here, for example, in this report, it says 24 states attracted zero foreign investment. Not even one.
Wow.
Zero, you know, last year. The states that don't have any foreign investment: Adamawa, Bauchi, Bayelsa, Benue, Borno, Cross River, Ebonyi, Edo, Enugu, Gombe, Imo, Jigawa, Kaduna, Katsina, Kebbi, Kogi, Nasarawa, Niger, Ondo, Plateau, Sokoto, Taraba, Yobe, and Zamfara. Also, out of the 10 states, also 10 of the 24 states failed to attract foreign investment in the last 3 years. Nothing at all. And here the manufacturer's man, the chairman, Infrastructure Committee of Man, Ibrahim Usman, said that aside from COVID that affected the number of companies abroad, there was an issue of insecurity plaguing the country. Man also says that the issue of foreign exchange, which falls under the purview of the CBN governor, policy somersault, make investment in Nigeria very, very risky. And that brings to mind the CBN governor's intention to run for presidency. We need a CBN governor that would focus all his time on the job.
But he hasn't expressly stated that.
We got video evidence of about 50 vehicles.
Well,
branded.
He still hasn't said anything.
Well, that even makes it worse. I mean, who is putting his money down to buy? We are not stupid now.
But he hasn't said anything.
He hasn't said anything. He probably thinks it's some kind of strategy, which will blow up.
He said he wants to focus on the economy now.
But look at these distractions. A lot of money is being spent. You have billboards, you have adverts, you have this, you have that. Anyway, we all have a fair idea of what's going on. And I find it, I don't want to use the word even insulting or not thinking that, you know, I mean, how would you say you don't have any hand in this? The video showed almost about 50 to 60 vehicles branded fully. Why don't you come out and condemn these things completely? Come out and make a categorical statement. But I mean, no.
You're pushing me.
Then because in as much as one wants to, he has a freedom to do whatever he wants and so on and so forth. His job is so crucial that we need somebody who would pay this to 24 hours attention to the economic problems.
Especially at this time, though.
At this time, the suffering is, you know.
It's okay.
Then the deputy president of the Lagos Chamber of Commerce, Gabriel Idahosa, he says three factors are also responsible for the steady decline: the unpredictability of the Nigerian foreign exchange market and the devaluation of the naira. I honestly wonder how far down this naira is going to go in our own lifetime.
Mm.
Also, speaking to The Punch, the MD of Cowrie Assets Investment, Johnson Chukwu, said that investors were looking for countries with economic and political stability and good economic growth. Benue blames the security, says investors shun FG too. Well, investors made inquiries but never turned up in Zamfara. And the GNI, the Jamal.
Jamal Sinister Islam.
Yes, said that Nigeria is headed towards multiple chaos. The Catholic bishops say the same thing. And Khan believes that it is time that President Buhari summons northern stakeholders to hold a meeting on insecurity.
How is it that before now, we cried about changing service chiefs when things were going really awry, but now, there's nothing like that?
Yes, because the issue is beyond service chiefs. It's beyond changing.
But it was said at that time that it was beyond service chiefs, but people still insisted.
Now they know better. I just want us to find a way to wait through all this so we can elect a new president. Right? Because I think a lot of people believe they know where the fault actually lies. That's it. There's no point flogging. I think it's beyond. If you change your service chiefs every 2 weeks, you're not going to have much change.
Right.
For as long as you have this policy thrust at the top, for as long as you have a certain kind of thinking at the top, then changing your service chiefs will be neither here nor there.
Indeed. Let's go to page 5 of the Punch. Angry youths block Lagos Ibadan Road, protest bad governance.
Now, this is a story that is hidden on page five of the Punch. Thankfully so, because this is an indication and a sign of the things to come, unless we get something going very quickly. Who are these people? This is some youths who gathered under the aegis of Angry Youth Movement. They brought traffic at the burger end of the expressway to a standstill over what they described as untenable state of affairs. And they were bold enough. They said, this protest is for the betterment of all Nigerians, because if we keep quiet, things will continue to get worse. We don't know what will become of this country in the next 5 to 10 years. The same old rhetoric. They talk about how Nigerians are angry, and that we should look at Facebook and Twitter and see people expressing their anger. But they now say something that is quite significant, and I hope that those concerned will move in and quell this very quickly before it gains traction. It says, we are not stopping here. There are other places, Anambra, even the north, everything in Nigeria is hard. And so on and so forth. So they are not stopping. They claim that they will not stop here. There's a need to move in very quickly. I don't want to use the word pacify. I'd rather say to do what is right. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. Okay, now, so you have power problems. Okay? You have, as we speak now, you have power problems. You have the heat. You have the cost of diesel going up, almost closing down businesses and so on. I don't know if there exists, and I review the papers. I haven't seen something that comes out to address these issues, even in the short term. Something as crazy as, okay, the federal government has ordered so much diesel and kerosene to bring down the price or whatever it is. I haven't seen anything like that. I haven't seen anything like that. I haven't seen one action that addresses it and says, okay, in the short run, to alleviate the sufferings of the people, this is what we are going to do. If it exists, I'd like somebody to tell me. I see a lot of futuristic things. We will wait through, we will do this, we will do that, and we'll do this. But I haven't seen any form of comforting message directly addressed to what Nigerians are going through as we speak. The issue of the foreign exchange that has led to the rise and spike in prices, diesel, kerosene. So the government needs to be, like I said, proactive. Come out and provide some succor for the people, even if it is just for the short run, while we sort out what we are going to do in the long run. If we are not careful, you'll be having more of things like this, which could, to be honest with you, should be avoided, because it's like a cancer. Once it starts, it never stops.
Let's move on quickly to the Vanguard now. We're on page 9 of the Vanguard. Anti-government sermon. Why we sacked Abuja Imam, Mosque Committee.
You know, sometimes when we do certain things, we need to sit down and think deeply and think long. We think, have what we do, long distance thinking. I think if the mosque had quietly called the Imam to his office and had a talk with him for about 15 minutes, all this attention being paid, what he has said wouldn't have happened. So what they have done inadvertently, in a bid supposedly to please those whoever instigated this, is that what a simple sermon that a man gave at the mosque has gone viral, and it's been discussed all over country, all over the country, possibly all over the world as we speak, and you've made a hero of the man. The imam, I saw the sermon, I even have it, part of it on my Instagram. He didn't say anything that nobody doesn't know. He didn't say anything new. Yes, his tone might have been strong, but these days it's difficult to control your tone at some of the things that happens in this country. You know? And so, my take is that now the genie is out of the box. The man will not even start making the rounds. He will not develop some kind of followership and so on and so forth. So in a bid to quell or to in a bid to handle what he has said, you have created a monster. And now, as we speak this morning, the man is the chief imam of another mosque. So what's going to happen? You find people flocking to the other mosque. I think that they should have restrained themselves and handled this much better. You ended up even making the man angry. Because let's be honest with ourselves, maybe you might not like the tone in which he said it, but what has he said that nobody doesn't know or doesn't feel? So that's my thinking on that.
Let's flip to the inside page.
You didn't say what you thought about it.
I've shared my opinion in the morning.
Yeah, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah, you always listen to my program, Joe.
But just for, I'd just like to know in one sentence, yeah. what do you think?
I copy you.
Oh, God. Sheriff.
Well, so, I copy you.
This is where you haunt me in my sleep. Okay, all right.
Let's go to page 10 of the Vanguard. Consult Ifa in choosing new Olowo. Prince tells Obasanjo kingmakers.
Yeah. I believe in things being done in the traditional manner so that the end result you get will be, like they say in Yoruba, what it should be. But in their own wisdom, the Owu kingdom have set up a committee of kingmakers, and it says apparently they're getting together to try to see if they can of all the various contenders, why don't we go down the traditional way? The problem is that everything, every process has been compromised in Nigeria. If I got him on dollar, you know, and that's why doing things, when you don't want to do things the proper way, then it becomes a bit more complex. I support this the position of this new prince, that why don't we, for God's sake, do these things. It's been done in the past, and for example, I am told, I'm a small rat when it comes to these things, but I am told that it was Ifa that produced the Abu Jale, and he was in his 20s, and you can see what we have. A proper West, he's one of my most respected obas in Yoruba land. You know, I could go to war with him. I don't mean war in that sense, but he's one of my most, the leader of leaders, because the proper thing was done when he was chosen. But the compromises we hear in recent times has produced leaders that we better not just talk about early this morning and move on to something else. So I'd like to beg our traditional people. Tradition is tradition.
Yeah.
It can be modernized and tweaked in a few ways, but if you don't stick to the proper, you know, what has been prescribed by our forefathers, you and we are suffering for it now. I don't need to tell you that some of the traditional rulers we have nationwide.
Indeed. We're back to the nation this morning. Adeboye, admonition from pulpit.
This is, Pastor Adeboye, nobody can sack him in his own case.
Yep.
But he also said he made quite a few comments in his own sermon too. He focused on politics, economy, particularly oil insecurity and social disorder. You know, very unlike Adeboye, but you could see the imam was talking with anger. Adeboye was talking with pain. You could, if you're somebody who sits back to look at, he was talking with a lot of pain. One of the things that worried him is the security. Another thing that worried him is, because it says that here that even, I didn't even know this. This just came to my notice this morning, that in the same country where Amotekun, the Southwest Security Network, was initially existed, northern leaders are now thinking of foreign fighters to build them out. That was taking a cue from
RFI.
RFI. Mm. Now, palaces of monarchs are not insulated. Schools are victims. There's nowhere to run to. Places of worship are attacked. And so he also talks about something that all of us we know about but have done virtually nothing about. And that is, he says, it is in the news that all we are producing is being stolen and nobody has denied it. Who is stealing the oil? Where is the money going? At the way he asks. 80% of our money is going to the hands of some people. Who are the foreigners buying this stolen oil? How many of these foreign nations are your friends, the Nigerians? He says it is an open secret and not denied that more than 90% of our income from the leftover of the oil stolen is being used to pay interest on the money we are borrowing, meaning we are moving steadily towards bankruptcies. Those are the foreign loans that we have.
Mm.
He says borrowing is an issue. There is wise borrowing for the purpose of funding capital projects that will alter infrastructural deficits and promote economic development and job opportunities. There is also unwise borrowing for the purposes of misappropriation and embezzlement. The leaders can swim in opulence, but the burden is shifted forward. The inheritors of the liability is the future generation, which may lead Nigeria to devise a new plea for debt forgiveness or live under the bondage of debt, thereby becoming a laughingstock in the community of nations. Surely, they will not be proud of the older generation that left a legacy of debt. Neither will they render honor and justice to their memory. And at the way it wants, we are moving to bankruptcy. You can see the reason why I am more concerned about what is happening now than what will happen a year from now. He says also that he doesn't believe that he hasn't cast his mind or God hasn't spoken to him about 2023, meaning that he probably has his doubts about if that would happen the way things are going.
Mm. Let's get back to the Vanguard newspaper. We're on page 5 of the Vanguard. Sultan, Catholic bishops, land-based FG on insecurity. The writer says any government incapable of protecting citizens shouldn't exist. JNI adds incision killings, kidnappings, resetting human psyche. Stop playing the ostrich on insecurity. Catholic bishops hit FG. Say authorities must arrest, prosecute those behind Abuja Kaduna train attack. Add Nigerians sick of excuses, bogus promises to deal with terrorists. The main headline is Sultan, Catholic bishops, land-based FG on insecurity.
Well, I mean, that it speaks for itself. So if in the process of this review we'd had to talk about the chief imam and then talk about Adeboye and then this, it speaks to itself.
Yeah.
We'll just call on the federal government to react. I don't mean react to what they're saying in that sense, but to react and do the right thing, in all honesty. People are pushed to the wall. We shouldn't run away from that. People are pushed to the wall, and the government should be proactive. And like I said, we are all stakeholders in this project called Nigeria. We are all stakeholders. So the issue of picking out one person to say is an enemy of this is not the time for that. The government has seen the right, should see the writing on the wall. These are people who are not given to making statements like this ordinarily. It shows that our backs are against the wall, and we do hope that they will react accordingly.
Mm, indeed. Vanguard, page 13 this morning. 2023 will participate in political process. Pro-Biafra groups.
Yes, and I found this exciting at last. You remember about 2 years ago or so, we had advocated this, and I'm glad that this is happening. I'd always said that the strategy of abandoning elections and so forth, people must have a leader. Push your own leaders who can push your agenda to the fore. And that's what's going to happen. Pro-Biafran groups have expressed their readiness to actively participate in the 2023 political process. I find this quite exciting. And they say that boycotting political process in Nigeria was not in the best interest of the struggle. So they urge everybody of voting age to quickly arm themselves with the PVC for active participation in 2023. Then the story here, very quickly, also says that Amaechi may declare interest to run for presidency on Saturday.
We're waiting. The Punch, our last paper on the show today, is page 24 of The Punch. FG uncovers more illegal online lenders, probes officials.
Well, while this is going on, I would advise very strongly, I'd like to advise members of the public to be very careful about those who offer you these loans at, you know, and then end up embarrassing you, sending SMSs and so on and so forth. We even have reports of somewhere along the line, once you have sunk into the system, then you begin to get conflicting texts about how much you are owing and this and that. Everything is muddled up, and then the subtle blackmail starts. And remember, these people have your BVN. So you better be careful. I would rather say that if you really do need money, if you can't go to your cooperative, you can't go to your bank, you can go to your cooperative, but go to well-structured, well-recognized, and well-registered lenders. Please be careful. Please, please, please be careful. At some point, it is some form of racketeering that, guess what, even has foreign involvement.
I'm going to squeeze in one headline about IBB saying that Nigerians need a younger person to lead in 2023.
Yes, I saw that. I know that. He has always said that.
Is that what we need? Should that be essential or just part of it?
Well, maybe I'll just give a general comment so far on all, you know, the candidates that we have for the center. Yeah. It's been anything but exciting. It's as if we've been on standstill for the past 8 years. We haven't really produced who I would call fresh, what I would call fresh. And the truth is this. If you have a very serious ambition to become president of this country, unfortunately, you have to work your way through any of the two major parties. Anything short of that, you're not going to, you know, it's a time waster. That's the reality, because it's about structures and it's about numbers. So you have to fight your way through it. We haven't seen that. The same actors are coming out. The same people, majority of them, who led us to where we are now coming out to say that, oh, they have a solution. Heaven help Nigeria. It's up to us. Let's see how that goes.
Indeed. Jimmy, thank you so much. What's happening at 9?
Oh, I'm going to conclude the interview I had on Saturday with Captain Blade.
With Captain Blade, okay.
And what I'm going to be looking at seriously is this idea of cloning. If there's something, is there a possibility that some things have been put in our food or whatever that makes us behave? We are behaving like programmed people. So we need to take a thorough examination of that.
Yeah.
That's what I'll be talking to him mainly at 9.
Okay. The former DSS director, Mike Ejiofor, is on the line already to join us to talk more about insecurity and how this can be nipped in the bud. We'll take that conversation at 8 o'clock. But Jimmy, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's our show. We'll bring you the news. After the news, we have the crossfire for you. And we're looking at State of the Nation, insecurity. Mike Ejiofor is the CEO of Apex M Securities. He joins us via the telephone. He's also a former DSS director. Please join us again.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's